This is GM Authority Weekly, episode 75, recorded on October 26, 2011. SEMA 2011 and the future of GMC. GM Authority Weekly is brought to you by the GM Authority News Desk for the latest independent General Motors news, analysis, and a whole lot more. Visit gmauthority.com. You can subscribe to this podcast for free. Try searching for GM Authority Weekly in the iTunes Store. This is GM Authority Weekly, the show that covers anything and everything about General Motors Company, and the show that just may save your sex life, since you won't have to car talk your lady friend to death. Instead, you can just listen to this show and get your GM fix this way. You know, that's the way we look at it. I'm Alex Luff. What's your name, sir?
I'm Manny Kita.
It broke up a bit. Can you repeat that?
It doesn't matter. My sex life is so ruined.
Manoli Katakis, everyone.
This will save my sex life.
Yes. That's why, actually, we do the show, because both of our sex lives.
I need some release. Some GM release.
So, apparently, we launched a new show called the GM Authority Garage. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. We just got done with the first episode.
Yeah, we just finished recording it about 2 hours ago or so. Maybe a little bit, not that long ago, actually. But
not long ago at all.
No. Check it out, garage.gmauthority.com. It is our first episode, and we actually discussed the CTS V Coupe. Manny had it for, what is it, just over a week?
Yes, I did. It was the best week ever.
So he got his release, and
I had a cargasm.
Yep. Now he is back to reality. So
I'm back. Yeah, real life is slowly setting back in.
But you did. You were the boss when you were driving.
The past 10 days have been absolutely great. Because I just got back from the Verano launch drive. You know, and the day I got back, like just hours after getting
doorbell,
home from the airport, yeah, the CTS-V Coupe rolls up, mm-hmm. and it's just like, well, I'm, you know, forget catching up on sleep, I'm going for a ride.
That's called CTS-V syndrome.
Yeah, it is a completely addictive car.
Yeah,
but that's not what we're here to talk about today.
No, garage.gmauthority.com is the place where you can find that particular show and that particular episode, so check it out, and we hope you enjoy it. Let us, however, talk today about the news of the week, and we're going to shorten the show up a bit, then it's going to be shorter than usual, so hopefully you like this new format, and let us know your feedback. You can write into us, podcast@gmauthority.com, or just leave a comment on this episode at gmauthority.com. So, SEMA 2011 is rapidly approaching. It starts Tuesday, November 1st.
Right, it's right around the corner.
Right around the weekend. Chevy is going to have a slew of vehicles, starting with the Sonic and the Cruze. There's going to be, two, three, four Sonic concepts?
Well, they have announced four.
Right.
They're going to have more.
Right, okay. So they've announced four so far. Sonic Z-Spec number 1, Sonic Z-Spec number 2, Sonic Z-Spec 4-door concept, Sonic Dusk concept.
Right. I'm curious to see the Sonic Dusk. That one sounds more of my sort of taste.
Up your alley?
Yeah.
In your sexual preference for cars?
Yes, not really as loud as the other cars, more of a sophisticated look.
What you're saying is you don't want to pick up like 17-year-old girls with your Sonic. You want to be a little bit more mature and pick up like 30-year-old
I like my cars to look a little, I mean,
a little bit more mature.
Well, to not be flashy, but look kind of mean looking.
Right.
Like kind of brooding, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, moody. Mm-hmm. Not these, look at me. I'm lime green with a pink stripe.
that actually reflects your personality quite well.
Yeah, or with sky blue wheels, you know.
and a shiny exhaust tip.
It's they match my Nike shoes, my Air Force Ones.
Well, it's just like that video, the group LMFAO with their song.
Yeah, it matches my banana hammock.
Yes.
That I wear. Maybe so, that's what's wrong with my sex life.
Well, wouldn't be able to tell you. So for at least four as we know so far, Sonic Concepts, we have some pictures on GM Authority, the blog.
We have as many photos as GM released. So we're going to have to hold out until this show actually happens to see more. Z-Spec number one and Z-Spec number two, I don't get it because Chevy's already released three other Z-Spec concepts. Like they had the first Z-Spec when they originally unveiled the Sonic in Detroit, and then they had two other Z-Specs in New York. So why the numerical identification? I don't get it. There's also going to be a Cruise Z-Spec there and a Cruise Dusk concept, which will kind of resemble the Sonic Dusk in the ways that it's going to have a Galvano silver 18-inch wheels, a special grille, Berlin blue exterior, suede trimming in the inside, and, you know, special seat inserts. Good stuff.
My question is, why the concept? I mean, when is one of these vehicles?
Well, a lot of these quote-unquote concepts feature genuine GM parts.
Yeah, but that's so...
They're like, accessories.
That's so aftermarket for a lot of people that... Here's what I want. I mean, I want to be able to walk into
this is what SEMA's about, though.
Right.
SEMA isn't about what you get out of the factory. It's Nicole, sorry. She just showed up on my Skype. That was weird. Anyway, the SEMA is it's all about aftermarket. It's all about tuning, and that's why these automakers show up is to show that they have accessories as well. They don't you don't necessarily have to go to the third party.
I still think there needs to be something that battles like the Ford Fiesta ST, the Ford Focus ST.
Oh, absolutely.
ST,
you know? I mean, I totally agree with you. Or even
as far as I'm concerned, all this stuff as far as GM goes. I mean, everyone always talks about the bottom line. You know, GM's bottom line. These things are like child's play. They don't actually help the bottom line. You know,
right? You know how many Sonics you have to sell relative to how many Silverados in order to turn a profit? Like,
well, not only that, how many of these body kits do you need to sell to actually break even on the development of them? You know, on their development and their production. You know,
that's probably also why they're so expensive.
Yeah, no kidding.
First party accessories are very expensive.
Yep. Well, they're also, you know, they keep your warranty. That's the other
part. Yeah, they do keep your warranty.
You want to talk about this Chevy Silverado Realtree?
Yeah, the Realtree. Realtree is it's an outdoor apparel company, and if you look at the photo that we have on the website, the truck looks seemingly murdered out. A lot of graphics on the side, kind of like a forest green bordering on the black wheels. You got 35-inch off-road tires. You got a full bed cover. The interior is appointed with even more graphics, leather, camouflage piping, blaze orange stitching.
Camouflage piping.
I know. You know the piping around that borders the seats.
Right.
And all of this is again based off the Chevrolet Silverado 2500 HD with the Duramax.
They seem to be basing a lot of the all-terrain concept, the GMC all-terrain concept was based on that.
Yeah, doesn't this car kind of play to the tune of the all-terrain concept, just in more of a Chevy kind of flair?
Yeah, yep, that's exactly kind of what, I mean, and a more hunting kind of flair too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and of course you also have a winch integrated into the front bumper.
Of course.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case you need to do something with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, I mean, these are all fun and nice and all that, but how about a Raptor competitor, you know?
Well, yes, how about a Raptor competitor? I think if anything, you're going to see these rugged, heavy-duty rock crawler cars, trucks, like the all-terrain and this Realtree concept, and then maybe you'll see the rally truck Colorado come to fruition.
Okay. Well, hopefully. I mean...
I'm just speculating here, but doesn't that just make a lot of sense?
It does. It would make common sense, you know, common sense-wise.
Yeah, but the Raptor still is... That's
the boss.
All right now. It is totally the boss.
Yeah.
How about a front view camera so you can see if you can actually clear those logs that you're coming up to or not?
Yeah, and surprisingly, the Raptor has one.
Yeah, they just got it for the 2012 model year.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Rounding out Chevy's efforts at SEMA, there's going to be this a whole bunch of Camaro and Corvette concepts.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not SEMA without these cars.
I mean,
cars.
Last year, these were the hottest, because the Camaro was named the hottest vehicle at SEMA, right?
Right. Well, and it's coming back strong, too. You're still going to see at least four Camaro variants. You're going to have the Red Zone concept. Nothing to do with football, by the way, but it has a lot to do with the color red, evidently. The concept is also going to show off a new white contrasting stripe that is kind of laid out across on the very front of the car. And I guess it's supposed to pay homage to a vintage look. Then there's a new Synergy series concept, which, I mean, it's another Synergy, I guess. No RS or SS badging.
They could come up with like another name or something.
I don't know.
I mean, we've had
suspension.
Two Synergies already.
Yeah, well, the Synergy thing, I guess, is going to just, it's going to keep happening. It's going to be their limited collector's edition thing that for every model year. But you also have a Petters suspension kick, which kind of slams the car down to the ground a little bit. And, you know, silver ice paint coat, red accents inside and out. You get the Camaro 1LE concept. And this one, I'm curious to see, because when you read the description in the press release, it kind of sounds like the Z28, what could be the Z28. It takes a lot of cues from both the SS and the ZL1. It's supposed to be more made for road courses and autocross racing.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
That's intriguing.
Yes, very. And it's also it's an RPO code, 1LE.
Right, right. Well, here's my question. Will you be able to get it with shiny exhaust tips?
Possibly.
Because, you know, nothing rounds out a car, especially a Camaro, than like those shiny exhaust tips. Just saying.
Just the tip, Alex?
Just the tip.
Okay, just the tip. you also get the Camaro. This car looks awesome. The Camaro ZL1 Carbon concept.
Uh-huh.
And this bad boy just looks murdered out. It's essentially, I mean, it is a ZL1. And I kind of find it ironic that they're already showing off an accessorized version of a car that's not even out yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not even out yet, but it's going to have a carbon fiber insert in the middle of the hood where those gills are.
Yep.
And I mean, that's pretty much it. Gray, like a smoke gray paint coat. And I mean, it just looks mean.
I like the wheels.
I like the wheels too.
I mean, I'd still take the ZL1's five spokes though. Are they five spokes or six? Five spokes, yeah.
I would take those.
The ones on the
on the carbon. You also got two Corvettes. You got the Carlisle Blue Grand Sport concept, and you have the Corvette Z06 Ron Fellows Hall of Fame Corvette.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them kind of speak for themselves. The Carlisle Blue, I guess, it's supposed to pay tribute to the 30 years of the Corvettes at Carlisle, which has been this kind of this automotive gathering that's one of the longest running Corvette gatherings in U.S. history.
Yep.
It's going to have a new Carlisle blue exterior, silver painted Torque 2 wheels, which is GM speak for really sweet wheels, actually. Mm-hmm. I think they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of have like this bend to the spokes that they're not exactly straight on, and it kind of looks like a saw. It's really sweet looking.
Mm-hmm.
You got pearl white racing stripes, and the interior's got some Grand Sport accessories, and the most obvious one is in the center console lid. The Ron Fellows car it's all about the Hall of Fame racing driver Ron Fellows, who just got inducted to the Corvette Racing Hall of Fame. This guy, he raced Corvettes, you know, so well that Chevy decided to display a one-off model in his name. Car's got several cues from other Corvette models, such as the Intennial Edition seats, suede steering wheel, racing graphics, raised carbon fiber hood, and you know, more stuff, more little accessories, just kind of make the car a little special. So that right now is what we know about SEMA. And curiously enough, we haven't seen an announcement for the rumored stock super stock drag racing Camaro that's supposed to rival the Mustang Cobra Jet, which people have been talking about that since the summer, but still we're not hearing anything about it. So maybe it's hush hush. Maybe it's supposed to be their special announcement, but we'll see.
I just, for some reason, maybe there's something wrong with me, but I can't get excited about SEMA for some reason. I mean, with all these accessory packages and I just.
Are you much of a tuning enthusiast?
Probably not as much as others.
That's probably why.
Yep.
Well, again, that's why there's only one show like this. Or, no. That's why there's only one big show like this once a year.
Right.
I mean, there's other small shows. There's Autorama in Detroit, which, I mean, that's a lot of fun. But, I mean, it doesn't touch SEMA.
Yeah.
So.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some kind of an app store that may or may not be launched by GM. We'll also talk about the Caddy ATS, some Cruise diesel news, and GMC, the future of GMC. But before we do that, I'd like to remind everyone that we do have the GM Authority Forum up and running. You can find it at gmauthority.com/forum. Again, gmauthority.com/forum. And well, it is the best General Motors forum on the web, in our opinion. You can, you know, of course, go in there, register. It's completely free. And really, I mean, we've spent about a year and a half developing it. We went through three different iterations of different forum builds. And we finally landed on the one, on this one that we really like. So it's not like all the other forums out there. It's different, and we think it's different in a way that you'll like. So just go there, gmauthority.com/forum, and check it out. Register, sign up, discuss. Manoli's in there. I'm in there. And well,
a lot of regulars are in there.
A lot of regulars are in there, exactly.
You go in there, you make your own name, you kind of create your own little profile, and you just become part of the ever-growing GM Authority community.
Exactly. It's very fun. I mean, we you know, there's people asking questions. You can actually ask questions there, and the post is actually marked as a question. You can then select a best answer to that question, or you can just create a traditional non-question topic, just a regular discussion. So it's fun. Go check it out. So we got a couple of tips here from a few insiders in the industry. And the entire idea has to do with the fact that, or the tips have to do with the fact that GM is currently toying around with the idea of creating an app store for its infotainment systems and its vehicles. So Chevy MyLink, Buick and GMC Telelink, as well as Cadillac Q, all these new generation infotainment systems from GM, they could end up getting an app store. Now, we don't know whether this is going to be a centralized app store from GM. Most likely, if it were up to me, it probably wouldn't be. You know, Chevy would have their own app store, Buick and GMC would have its own, and Cadillac would have its own app store. But what these apps would do is basically they would provide kind of a layer, an exchange layer, between the vehicle and apps running on a user's smartphone, like an iPhone or an Android or, you know, what have you. So let's say you have, you know, an app that you really like. For instance, you really like to use, let's just say you like Hootsuite, which is a popular social networking client, right? So you have, let's say in Hootsuite, you've already set this up before you get into the vehicle. You've set up your Twitter account in there. You've set up your Facebook account in there. Maybe your Foursquare account, for those of you who have Foursquare. You have all these different accounts already in Hootsuite. So then you just you tap on the screen and you launch the app. And what that would do is then it would connect. The vehicle would then connect to your phone and check and say, hey, does your phone have this app? If it does, it's going to launch it. And then it's going to basically give you voice prompts and allow you to control the app via voice commands, and then read the results out to you. And, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing. Now, Sync has something similar already. It's called Sync App Link. But it doesn't really allow developers to create apps on a wide scale basis, on a widespread basis. So, you know, this GM App Store, if you know that in fact is what it's going to be called, would pretty much be an industry first as far as its implementation, as far as the idea behind it. So, you know, pretty cool stuff. Another example I like to bring up is, let's say you have an Amazon, you know, the app from Amazon.com. You can tap on that in your screen, it will launch the app. It will ask you, you know, what would you like to find? And you would potentially say, well, I'm looking for, you know, let's say you're looking for 19-inch rims for my Chevy Sonic. You know, and it will, maybe you already know the name. For instance, you know, BBSs or something. It would give you, it would read out to you actually, the price, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then you'll be able to order it from there as well. So, it's basically kind of like this exchange layer between the phone and the infotainment system in the car. So the question is, according to our sources, the question internally right now at GM is whether or not it's worth it to build something like this or to even offer something like this, this kind of an app exchange API or application programming interface. Some people within GM think that it's up to smartphone manufacturers to build something like this, whereas others think that it's up to GM. So there's kind of an internal powwow going on in there. But you know, needless to say, I think it would be pretty cool if they had something like this. What do you think?
Yeah. You definitely have better grip on stuff like this than I do, so I'll take your word for it.
I mean, here's what it comes down to at the end of the day. You know, developers, you know, third-party developers outside of GM would need to write these interface layer apps, right? So, you know, and the question is, how do they make money off of it? How does GM make it lucrative, make it appealing for these developers to write these apps and distribute them? You know, do they sell them for 99 cents? Do they sell them for $5.99? Do they give them away for free and make money in another fashion? How does all that work? You know, do they even want third parties to have access to vehicles, you know, in the technology in vehicles that, you know, potentially could, you know, mess things up for lack of a better term.
Well, do you have an idea of how they could go about fixing that or finding a solution?
Well, they probably could. I mean, as far as the, you know, the malicious aspect is concerned, where the people or the developers may end up screwing something up, they could probably put some kind of a firewall, you know, there's a bunch of technical solutions to do that. But as far as the business model, I don't know. I mean, they can always offer incentives to developers and say, hey, the first 10 developers who make the first 10 apps, you know, we give them, you know, $5K or something like that and mm-hmm. pull it from a fund of some kind just to jumpstart it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really solve the long-term problem of, okay, well, now the developers have released it. Will they maintain these apps? You know, what happens in a year when the actual app on the smartphone gets updated, but, you know, do they update this thing in the car as well? So it's just, you know, it's a very interesting kind of a business dilemma that needs to be solved before they could go on and really implement this full scale. But this is being discussed at GM, according to our sources. Again, this is not official news from GM at all. I just want to make that clear. But, you know, supposedly, these discussions are in a nascent phase, but they could come to market very quickly if they're given the green light. So to me, it's cool that they're even talking about something like this, because that means that they have a pretty firm understanding of where technology and smartphones and apps are going. You know, it is an interesting discussion nonetheless. So we'll
Indeed.
See.
Indeed.
We'll see. Time will tell, as we always like to say. So, Caddy ATS, huh? Couple of things here.
Caddy ATS.
So apparently you lapped the ring in some kind of a record time.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a record time.
Not a record time, but a very decent time.
A very good time. Yeah. I mean, you're just within spitting distance of the BMW 335.
Mm-hmm. 8:30, right? No, it's no.
Under 830. Here's the thing. You hear the development engineers as they're testing on the ring at the end of the first teaser video. It crosses the finish point, and they turn off their stopwatches and they look at their clocks and they say, I think it was like 28.4 or 28.6 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some time
or
like that.
09 or 14, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And that's very good. Under 8:30. And if you think about it, that's less than half a minute away from the CTSV.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a very promising car.
You know, one thing I noticed about the ATS is how short that front overhang is. It is so small that the picture that we have on that post of the ATS, just, you know, kind of from a side quarter panel view.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's so small. It's really, really performance-like, you know?
Yeah, this car is just, it's shooting right for the BMW 3 Series. And mm-hmm. I think the whole time this is why they're in Germany. This is why they're developing a car like this, is to show that, you know, BMW isn't going to be the front runner anymore. And I mean, if they come out with a car that competes directly with the 335 immediately rather than the simple 328, then they're already like, you know what, we're going to one up you just from on the spec sheet. And we're not even going to have a car that's going to have that kind of a minimalist approach like the 328.
Right.
Because we're going to go after your mid-market model, and we're going to go even above that.
What do you think about that the new 3 Series, the 2012 3?
It's like the 2011 3 Series, only newer.
Only with different front lights and some
engines. I think that the way that the kidneys and the lights kind of meet now, they look like two switchblades kind of flipped out.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna cut someone with those things.
It looks sharp to me, though. I really like that look.
I have a feeling that the ATS is gonna be even more striking.
Yeah.
You can just see it in the even though it's all kind of camoed up,
mm-hmm.
and that the factory headlamps aren't installed, that this thing is going to be just absolute, just beast mode.
Yeah.
It is going to be over the top in terms of design.
Sexy.
Yeah. 2809, 2814.
Yep.
So, but and you know, if you think about it though, like the references, because cars, when you're saying like that, usually you're thinking around the 8 minute mark, and you're obviously not talking about the 7 minute mark, because if you're running an ATS in 728, then you're looking at, you know, Pagani Zonda territory.
Right.
So, I mean 828. I mean,
that wouldn't be that bad either.
No, but 828 is that's right on the money for a car like that,
mm-hmm.
and. I mean, I'm super stoked to see this car. Like, I think I'm more excited to see the Cadillac ATS than I was for the Chevy Camaro Gen 5 when it first came out.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of, you know, this may come as a surprise to some, but I was really not a big fan of the 4th Gen Camaro.
The F-Bod?
Yeah, the F-Bod. I was just, it didn't sit with me, you know, it didn't sit well with me at all. I'm really kind of, I wasn't really looking forward to the 5th Gen until I saw the concept, and then that kind of piqued my interest. We'll see. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the ATS. This thing is going to be, from everything that we've heard, it's going to be killer.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype surrounding this car right now, and right now it's looking like, with all the stuff that they're releasing about it,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking LA. It's got to be LA, which is in 2 weeks.
I think you may be right. I mean, well, or maybe Nias.
Or 3 weeks. Well, Nias, but they haven't really been talking about the XTS at all. So maybe they're going to hold
Nias
out
concept
Nias
did,
for the XTS.
Yeah, the XTS concept did bow at Nias 2 years ago as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see.
Well, again, there's a lot of stuff that Cadillac can show off. Like, they could show off the ELR. They could show off perhaps another concept car.
That thing, by the way, the ELR... a couple of people have told us that it's going to be kind of the Volt 1.5 powertrain.
Well, I think they say that because it's going to be maybe, like, in terms of generation and evolution of technology, yeah, but it's going to have a different supplier, so you're going to see maybe a different take on the technology a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have LG Chem doing everything for the Volt, where these guys,
A123?
A123
Yep.
Systems, which is out of Massachusetts.
Right. Well, as we like to say here, once again, time will tell.
Time shall tell.
Here's something that, something else that people told us. It wasn't time, though. We learned that the diesel-powered Chevy Cruze.
I think we broke this story, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, we did. The diesel-powered Chevy Cruze has entered validation production this Monday, October 24th, 2011. The validation stage, for those who are wondering what the heck that is and aren't familiar with the kind of the manufacturing process, the stage kind of it encompasses the production of a small fleet of vehicles to figure out, to see how well the plant, in this case, of course, GM's Lordstown Assembly in Ohio, how it can assemble the car. You know, how the production line can take it, how different production elements, you know, work to build the car and put it together and then release it. So quality control is very important at this stage, et cetera. So usually validation takes place less than a year, right? Less than a year before the vehicle is made available for final consumer consumption and sale to, you know, to the end user.
Yeah, they'll do validation and they'll roll out pre-production models and they'll have engineers and program managers and development guys all kind of drive these cars that rolled out of the plant and check them out, make sure everything is running as it should and fitted together as it should be, and you know, if they have to make adjustments or recalibrations, they'll do that accordingly. And it's just all in part of a joint effort with the engineers mm-hmm. to make sure that everyone can do what they're supposed to be doing.
Right. We still don't know much about the engine, but we expect it to be the 2.0 liter common rail diesel. You know, somewhere in the vicinity of 160 horsepower, 260 pound-feet of torque. That's what.
That's a good torque number.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, the Holden Cruze, the GTDI, is that what it's called? Something similar to that.
I really don't know.
Can't remember what the official name is for it, but it makes 160 horsepower and 265 pound-feet of torque. So, you know, it's not going to be a speed demon. Of course, we discussed before that the diesel-powered Cruze will wear the EcoD badge.
That's what we're told, right?
Yeah. So if it's called EcoD, that will kind of hint at its, you know, the Cruze is kind of...
its intention.
Yeah. It's going to be a fuel sipper,
well,
not a performance car.
I mean, people... they've been targeting upwards of 50 miles a gallon on the highway.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to make that goal, but I mean, if they can touch 42 mpg with the gas engine with the Cruze Eco, I think they can touch 50 with the diesel. I think that's totally plausible.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean,
this is a non-hybrid. That's the other astonishing part.
Mm-hmm.
Non-hybrid, and it's getting these numbers.
Yeah. That's impressive.
So. And you're going to have 265 pound-feet of torque? Count me in, man.
Exactly. Well, hopefully they make it with a stick, which, given that it's an Eco, they probably will. So, I agree. I think this is going to be really good. I mean, 160 horsepower is 21 more than what we have in the 1.4 liter. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at 0-60 times in, like, maybe the 7.5 mark.
Yeah, I'd say 7s.
Yeah, 7s.
Yep. Well, we'll see. You know, we're getting closer and closer. GM CEO Dan Akerson said that the Cruze diesel is great and quiet.
Well, he says a lot of things.
He does. I mean, remember he said that thing about the C-Class?
He definitely talks a big game.
Yep.
So,
well, good.
I mean, well, I'll let him talk his game.
You let him talk it up?
Yeah. It makes for an entertaining read, that's for sure.
It does.
And it makes for something fun to write about.
I mean, his entire character kind of has grown on me over the last few months.
Would you say that he's proved himself as a CEO?
Here's the thing. I mean,
it's been a year.
I don't really know, because a lot of the programs, most of the programs that are coming to fruition now, have, they weren't even his, you know, they weren't his, they weren't developed with his people, with,
yeah,
you know, with
you're
him
still
in charge,
looking
so.
At, you know, maybe 2014, 15, 16.
Mm-hmm. To see his work.
Yeah. But again, like he'll step in and like cars that maybe were bound to launch in 2013, even, you know, he'll maybe have some influence in that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we'll see.
We will.
But it's not just about product. It's about the way he conducts the, you know, business and, mm-hmm. and policy and how he runs the company.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, we like to talk about product, obviously, a lot at GM Authority, you know, on the blog, on the podcasts, everywhere, because really that's what we live for. That's what everyone kind of lives for if you're an enthusiast in the automotive industry. But we have to remember that these are businesses, right? And there are certain ways, you know, especially for those like myself who went to business school, there are certain ways that a business should be run. And there's a myriad of different ways that a business should be run. And what the job of a CEO is, first and foremost, is to make sure that the company has the right people in place, you know, outside of the HR department, most likely, to make sure that the company is as successful as it can be, you know, and to guide strategy. So while he may not be involved on a, you know, day-to-day product decision or product development and decision-making level, I think he is, you know, instrumental to making sure that you have the right people in place of product development, of, you know, engineering, of marketing, et cetera. So from that perspective, I think, you know, I'm not really sure if certain people are in the right places in GM. I'm, you know, it's a huge organization. There possibly isn't a way for us to sit here and comment on that, but you know, it seems to be that way. It seems to be that the right people are in the right places.
So far, so good.
Yep. You want to talk about the future of GMC, or would you like to save that for next time?
Well, what were we running on time?
Oh, we're at about 35, maybe 40 minutes or so.
All right, let's just kind of breeze over this because no, we don't really talk about GMC, and I think GMC kind of deserves its spotlight.
Yes.
So.
Well, we, as part of our future product guide series, we published the GMC vehicles, future GMC vehicles product plan for the 2012, 2013, and 2014 model years. So for 2012, what we're looking at is the discontinuation of the current Canyon.
Thank God.
You know, it's really not that bad of a truck.
Oh, no, it is, though.
I love that five-cylinder, man. Come on.
Get out of here. You're done.
Okay. Sorry. I kid.
It's
kid.
Getting too late. It I must kid. Be.
The it sounds really great if you put an exhaust on. Okay, I'll stop.
You're drunk.
I'll stop. Again, for 2012, so the discontinuation of the Canyon at Shreveport, because that plant's going to be shuttered. However, in 2012, the Terrain Denali is going to debut. So expect to see a lot of
sweet
chrome.
Time. So, I mean, well, for as long as it's taking.
Here's the rumor, though. Yeah. I mean, this is something that we have received from an unconfirmed source, so I'm going to preface it with that. But the tip that we did get states that the Terrain will be the first GMC Denali crossover to not only be differentiated by paneling and you know, different colors and all that,
but
and different wheels,
well.
But a powertrain.
Yeah, see that, and that is why it's making me wonder why it's taking so long. Because you look at the Acadia Denali, I mean, that seemingly.
That's just like a paint job done.
Yeah, they threw that out. They're like, oh, you want an Acadia Denali? Okay, well, next year it's going to come out. So, bam.
Yep.
You know, we saw this vehicle, spy shots of it testing, yada, yada, and it's, you know, just it's going on and on and on. And it's just like, where is this car?
Mm-hmm. Where is it?
But yeah, I think it's going to have the LFX.
Yep, I agree. For 2013, we're going to most likely see the debut of the overhauled, as in the next generation Canyon. You know, GM has not really confirmed or denied the fact that there is a new Canyon coming. But, you know, most likely it's going to be, or more than likely, I mean, it's pretty much a done deal that it's going to be based on the new Chevy Colorado. Mm-hmm. It's going to have different styling, though, and this is something that's, according to our sources, going to be a major differentiator compared to the current models, where you know they pretty much look the same except for you know the front and rear fascias. This is going to be the GMC is going to be more boxy. It's kind of going to be like more the
Equinox, more angular look.
To, yeah, the Equinox to the rounded to the terrain. Off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Which it's not a bad take.
Not at all. 2013 model year is also going to see the debut of the Granite. The most
Yay.
The most heatedly debated vehicle in GMC history, probably.
I'm getting one.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Don't buy into. Come on, get the Cruze diesel.
Nah, if it's getting a diesel, I'm gonna buy a Granite.
What a poser.
I'm not. How am I a poser?
I don't know. I just felt like calling it that.
It's a genuine hatch. I'm gonna get the Granite. If it comes with the.
Why don't you just get the Scion XD, dude?
With the truck bed, because I don't want that's a genuine stupid hatch. Scion.
Well, that's where you're gonna be driving, pretty much with a different badge now.
Nuh-uh.
Okay.
I'm gonna get the was it the GMC Granite? What was the truck?
CPU.
Yeah, the CPU.
Yep.
Compact pickup. Pickup.
Yeah. 2013 model year, Acadia overhaul. So this is also an all new Acadia. Now, we've heard reports before. Not
what model year was this?
2013 model year. So not for next year.
From what I heard in Oregon, it might come out in 2013. It might be 2014 model year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's going to be somewhere around the end of the year. That's what we have.
Yeah. It's definitely it's gonna. It, but you got the time window right.
Right. It's going to probably ride on a Theta platform, although it may not be the exact same platform as we see in the SRX. It may be a shortened version of it. Or I'm sorry, a lengthened version of it. So there's kind of some speculation around that that's not really concrete right now.
Right.
And the 2013 model year may see the debut of the midsize SUV that's based on the Trailblazer. We don't know about this.
I wouldn't mind seeing that maybe. Because honestly, who needs another Lander crossover? I mean, there's the Acadia and the Traverse, they overlap way too much.
Yeah.
So if you were to just kind of maybe downsize the Acadia and fill in this.
Well, what do you do then with the terrain?
You make it smaller.
Is that like the Granite or the Granite?
No, the Granite. Well, the Granite is that's car based.
Yeah, but it's not. Well, it's low, tall and it's.
It's tall. Not that tall. It's just tall. It's lower to the ground.
It's not a hatch. I mean, it's no Sonic. Let's just say that it's probably like half a foot taller than the Sonic.
I don't know. Maybe they'll it's still short. It's like in terms of length.
Mm. You like short.
You saw the concept. I mean it is a genuine hatchback. Like they're going to build it as a genuine hatch.
I still think that the Granite though, it's not a genuine hatch. I think it's like the Scions, you know, where they're like kind of like boxy and tall.
So?
Well, it's not really a hatch at that point. It's kind of like a
No, it's a hatch build. Like the, I mean, the
car here, the
cuts
Sonic,
off like pretty much right where the rear seat ends.
Yeah, but the Sonic is a genuine hatch. That's a genuine hatch. This thing is a little bit taller than a genuine hatch. I mean, it's kind of like a
no. It's a bigger hatch. It's not a subcompact hatch.
Okay, well, let's say the Ford Focus hatch. You know, that's not going to compete in the same segment as the Focus hatch.
But those are I think totally different buyers.
Right. Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Well, but you know what? Again, I've always kind of looked at GMC as its own player in its own sandbox.
Yeah, I just don't know if there's enough people who want to play in that sandbox to.
Whatever. To eat my sandbox.
So we've talked about the Acadia. The like I said, the midsize SUV is going to be for the 2013 model year as well. Now this one. You know, GM officially stated several weeks ago that the Trailblazer will not be coming to the United States. However, we have it on good record that it is.
Well, you also have to think that they didn't say that the Colorado was going to come to the United States
mm-hmm.
either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And both are called Global.
Right.
So this SUV is going to be, again, kind of like the Equinox is to the Terrain. It's going to be more boxy, more masculine, I'd say. Although we have not seen this truck. Have you seen it? I haven't seen it.
I can't say I have just yet.
Yeah. For the 2014 model year, we will see the Sierra 1500 redesign and re-engineer. So, you know, this is basically a, you know, an all-new Sierra. It's going to look different than the Silverado and the Sierra, right, Sierra Twins right now. Again, more boxy styling, more kind of rugged styling. The same thing goes for the Yukon. Now, there has been some speculation that the Yukon is going to go away or the Yukon XL is going to go away. I believe that as of right now, both are going to stay. Both are planned to stay. There's no plans to discontinue either the Yukon or the Yukon XL.
Mm-hmm.
So those are also for the 2014 model year. And then there is the Terrain E-Assist for the 2014 model year. Now, we may see that moved up to 2013, but supposedly this is going to have GM's new, you know, BAS alternator, even the next generation. So right now we're just seeing the rollout of the.
Well, I think almost everything going forward is going to have some sort of BAS application.
Right.
It makes sense.
Right. This is going to be the next gen system. So like right now we have the LaCrosse, the 2012 LaCrosse, debuting with it. This is kind of have that system just improved. And we're not sure what kind of improvements it will have, but that's what we're hearing right now. And other than that, you know, there's the full-size vans, which, you know, we really don't know. We can't say we know when they're coming, but I think it's, I wouldn't say it's safe to say, but it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen with those vans, you know, whether the Movano, the Opel Movano will replace them, you know, or what's going to happen there. So
we'll see. It's way too early to tell. We'll see.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it for the product plan. I think we didn't leave anything out for GMC. So, you know, a good plan. I'm just trying to figure out how and where they're going to, I mean, how they're going to position GMC as a brand. I'm still kind of doubtful of GMC and where they fit into the market segment. But that's just me. Right?
I guess so.
Yes. So did we miss anything? Do we have anything to add?
I think we got it covered. No. Wrap it up, sir.
Well, then it's been a pleasure, sir. Mr. Manolikatakis, the editor-in-chief of GM Authority. I'm Alex Luft. I am the... I like to call myself the strategy-oriented GM fan, GM enthusiast / journalist.
Yeah, don't say the F word.
No, I'm not a fan, like, you know, fanboy. Like, oh my God, just give me the Kool-Aid. That's not the way I am.
You're drinking the GM Kool-Aid.
That's the WD-40. I mean, not the WD-40, what do you call it? The new oil that they have in there, it's called Dexos. That's what it's called. I'm drinking some of that. So thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. We also really appreciate your feedback, especially what you think of this new format. We're a little bit shorter than we were or have been in the past. So if you like this new format, let us know. podcast@gmauthority.com is the place to do that. You can, of course, find us on the website, gmauthority.com, any time of the day for the latest General Motors news, rumors, reviews, anything you have, anything you'd like to see, we have it, as well as, of course, the GM Authority Forum at gmauthority.com/forum. If you like us, and we hope you do, because we're trying to stay positive here, you know, we hope you like us because you're listening this far into the end of the show.
You listen to Alex talk.
Hey, fan us on Facebook. Facebook.com/GM Authority, Twitter.com/GM Authority for Twitter. And please do leave us a review in the iTunes store. We really appreciate those. I think that's all we have for this week. And it's safe to say that the general has been served. Please rate the show in the iTunes store. Head on over to iTunes and search for GM Authority Weekly. Is anyone